Hey, and welcome to The Brand Called You. This is a video and a podcast where we talk to some of the world's most leading thought leaders. And today is no exception. Pnina Zilberman is the CEO and the founder of the Tarbut Foundation, Siget, whose goal it is to keep the memory alive of 40,000 Jews that lived in that region before the Holocaust. And to her, it's very personal. Pnina is the daughter of a Romanian Holocaust, two Romanian Holocaust survivors. Her father was from Bucharest and her mother was from Siget, where her family lived for nearly 200 years before they, along with the vast majority of Jews of the Marmaris region, were deported to and then murdered in Auschwitz in the extermination camps. And her goal is to preserve not only the memory of their deaths, but also to celebrate their lives too. And she does it through remarkable programs, tours, art, culture, and education. And I'm super excited to welcome her today. Welcome, Pnina.
Thank you very much, Lisa. I'm really honored to be part of this program and to reconnect with you.
Yes, well, you know, we have much in common. First of all, both of our mothers share a first name. My mother is Shadi, although she's Hungarian. We're both children of Holocaust survivors. I actually first met you when you were the director of the Holocaust Museum in Toronto, and you brought me there to perform a one-woman show. But, you know, to quote the great philosopher Snoopy, he said that a life is what happens to you while you're making other plans. And I'm fascinated to know how, because that was easily over 20 years ago, it is that you suddenly came from Toronto to founding a really meaningful foundation in Romania. I mean, was it by accident? I'd love to hear your journey and how it began.
Okay, so I took an early retirement. And I always knew that I'm going to come to Israel because that's where I was born. That's where my parents met. And so, unfortunately, in Israel, people who are over 55 are kind of not welcome to work. And that's exactly what I like, to be busy. So I saw that there isn't really any opportunities. So I anyways... been traveling to Romania for the past 20 years on various missions, teaching various teacher seminars, going to schools. I speak the language fluently. I read and write. So I have a direct contact with people. There's no need for translation. So in 2013, in the summer of 2013, I sit in this beautiful garden of this hotel next to the house of Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel was born in Siget. And on that land was also part of the ghetto where the Jews were put in before they were deported. And I say to myself, wait a minute, next year, 2014, is going to be 70 years to the deportation, 70. So I say to myself, wait a minute, I heard there's a new mayor, young man. I'm going to propose that I want to have a commemoration. There is in Siget a monument that was erected in 1948 by the 2,000 survivors who returned. So me in my small mind, I said, okay, I'll have a march to the train station and then we'll have a commemoration of the monument. I go to the city hall, sorry, he's on vacation, but somebody took all the information. And the Lord and behold, comes February, I get a call from him saying, sorry of the lateness, but you can do it. And if you bring 25 people, I'm thankful to you. I said, not a problem. Great. It's February. The date is supposed to be the 16th of May, 2014, because between May 16th to the 22nd, 1944 is when the Jews were deported from Siget. total North Transylvania was done from May till the end of June in each city on a different time. So I don't have too many months from February to May. Right away, I started to publicize all over. And the more I was thinking, I said, wait a minute, I need to have like a long weekend. So it turned out to be from a Thursday to a Tuesday morning. I had 125 people. Now, that was the first one, and I still had 10 survivors. So I had 10 survivors, their extended families or singles, 125 from all over the world, majority from Israel, then United States, and a few from Europe. And the program was completely different. We started with a get together. Friday, we toured. The mayor, the more I told him about, he was willing to give us some things. So he gave us two buses and we toured in the area in the small communities. And then we had a service and we did together, we worked together with the Jewish community. Unity, which was at the time, it's almost 10 years ago, much larger. Today, there are only barely 10 Jews according to halacha, which means according to the mother. So the community is really dwindling. So I started with the conference. I called it the conference gathering, and we moved into a yearly one. So we've had four, 14, 15, 16, we skipped, 17 and 19. And I'm hoping to do one for the 80th, which would be 2024. So that's how I fell into it. And I continued mainly with the education. I opened the foundation with some resources that my parents left me. And we have two missions. One are the tours, the routes, tours for the families to visit where their families lived, went to school, the cemeteries. And the other mission is to speak about the Romanian Holocaust. And as a matter of fact, today, October the 9th, is the official Romanian observance of the Holocaust. That's when the deportations, not in North Transylvania, in 1941, they started in the region of Bukovina, which borders with Ukraine today.
You know, I'm suddenly brought back to a memory I had. I want to say now, maybe 12 years ago, my father and I decided to go back to trace the Lipkin roots to Vilnius, Lithuania, where we knew that our records were still in the archive. And on the way, we stopped in Riga, Latvia. And we had a tour guide who took us through. We were walking through what was a Russian, I mean, and in those days it was Latvian, it was post-communism, but it was right. A park that had been built by the Russians during communism. And it was a beautiful day with trees. And I look down and I see this little teeny corner of a tombstone popping up through the ground. And at which point the tour guide says to me, that was a Jewish cemetery. And she said, what people don't realize is that the Nazis may have murdered our people, but the Russians stole our memory. And I think what most people maybe don't realize, and maybe you can comment upon, is it wasn't just the murder of those Jews, but then communism went to great lengths to erase any kind of memory or education about it. And I'm wondering if you're remedying that somehow. Do you have any comment about that aspect of it?
Yes, absolutely. Especially in the former communist countries, in Romania, because I'm concentrating on Romania. Once the Russian government took over officially somewhere between 46 and 47, it was part of We don't speak about it. We don't talk about it. And many of the Jews who did not get a chance to leave Romania for Israel or America from 1945 to 1946, they had only 1 year, had a big problem. And that's when they changed their names, they changed their identity. And I'm going to tell you what do we still have because of that. You see, according to the population count, we have in Romania today only 5,000 Jews. And that includes Bucharest, Timișoara, Oradea, and Iași, the four major cities. There are cities that there are no more Jews, period. Now, this is 5,000 listed. However, I claim, and I have proof for that, I'll tell you soon a little story, that there are many people that still live in hiding, especially the elderly ones. And the other thing is that some people just don't know. So here is my little story, one of them. I have a meeting with a few people in Sighet a couple of years ago. And we finished the meeting, and a young man from Cluj, which is a major city, says to me, "Plina, do you still have a few minutes?" I said, "Sure." He says to me, "I want you that I discovered that I have Jewish roots." I said, "How so?" He says, "Well, my mother died 10 years ago. Then my father died 5 years later. And we wanted to sell the house and the land because that's how they work. The house was small, but the piece of land was very large because they were farmers. And finally, I found a buyer. I went to the city hall. And what did it say next to the father's name? Jewish.
Yeah.
And he never knew, and his sister didn't. And so on. And so I believe that there are maybe 10,000 Jews.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I did a lot of work in Europe as well, in Germany. And one of the issues that a lot of the Jewish population in Germany was originally Russian descent. They had an immigration. And what's interesting about the young Jews there is they have no memory of Judaism in their family, and they literally have to recreate it from scratch. Correct. And I'm wondering if part of your mission in your foundation is not just to remind people of what Judaism was, but to really teach them what it is now, because there was this whole generation under communism that really had nothing, you know? So it's, in a way, it's not a haunted memory, it's amnesia, it's no memory.
No memory. They don't even know how a Jew looks. Many times I'm being asked, "Are you Jewish?" And I say, "Of course, my mother was, my father, but you don't look like." You see, it's this image of you don't look like. Well, my nose is very tiny, you know. What we try very hard to bring to the students, to the high school students, is the Jewish heritage that was in Maramureș, in our region. It was a very rich, artsy music. There were great pianists. They were great authors, poets, painters. The first school of artists in Romania was only an hour away from where we live. And who organized it? The Jewish artists. So the Jews brought to the whole Romania a great amount of culture. Most of the architects who built in Bucharest, the most beautiful buildings were Jewish architects, artists, and so on. Definitely, you can see. I've been going now for 25 years. And since the revolution that took place in December 1989, it's over 30 years. I must say that they haven't done too much touch.
Right.
You know, they, you know, they need a lot of reinforcement, a lot of initiative. The young generation does, I mean, the non-Jews I'm speaking, doesn't stay in the country. They go to England, to France, to Spain, to Germany. Some come back once they have enough money to build a house, to feel better, to live, but most of them don't come back.
What, why? I can, again, speaking from personal experience, I did go to visit my mother's hometown, which wasn't too far from where your family was from. She was from Ushgorod or Ungvar, which is in the Carpathian.
Oh, I know where that is. Yeah.
4 to 6 hours from Siget.
And yeah.
But I, for me personally, I needed to go back because it sort of filled this dark hole in my memory because my mother never talked about it. And I didn't have context, but I wonder what drew you to return to return. Was it historical memory? Was it mourning? What was it that ultimately drove you there?
Well, you see, in our house was very interesting. My mother came from Siget and my father came from Bucharest. Bucharest did not have a Holocaust, but they did, he did go through forced labor because he was a young man. Now, the thing is that, excuse me, my father always used to say, you come from Siget, a small shtetl, you know, right, that kind of thing. Come from the capital.
Right.
But, and I was brought up by my grandmother, his mother and father. And my grandparents did not instill in me any hatred towards Romania or Bucharest. On the contrary, Bucharest used to be the Paris of the East between the two wars in the 30s. So I had this imagination always that I'll go one day. And in 98, in May 98, I decided that I'm going to go to Romania. And I said, I'll go to Siget also. And my mother's comment was, what a silly thing. Can't you go somewhere else?
I said, I want to.
I
had the same thing. They did not want me to go.
You see? Yeah, my mother didn't speak too much about the war. She spoke about life before the war, especially the cooking and holidays. Now, I landed in Bucharest. I stayed there 2 weeks. And then I said, that's it. I'm going up north. It's like 10 hours drive. And so I hired a driver, a relative of somebody I knew from Toronto, and we went there. Now you see, there is something very fascinating and mysterious about the Siget, which the capital did not give me that synergy. And even though some of the streets are, the sidewalks are broken and you need to watch, I tell to all my tourists, please keep your eyes down. I don't want you to fall or anything like that. But there is something there that you can feel it. It's the house of Elie Wiesel. It's all those people that I didn't get to see, my family, that is speaking to me. Like one of the things that we have done at the first conference was asking people for pictures. And we created a huge collage, 6 feet over 3 feet. And from all places, we placed it next to the council house in the city hall. Now remember, the note for deportation came from the city hall. That's where we hanged it. Each time I arrive, wow, I'm all goosebumps. Each time I arrive, the first place I go is there. And I'm speaking to the people. I know it sounds, you know, maybe crazy, but I need that contact. I feel that they see that we come back and we never forgot them.
So, you know, I understand as the child of a survivor why this is filling a deep emotional need in you and a hole and all that. But I guess brutally, I want to ask you whether the young non-Jewish kids that you're educating today, what's the reason for that? I mean, does it matter to them? Do you feel, how are they transported? What is the mission beyond our own personal healing?
Very good. Excellent. Number one, I do speak a little bit about the family, but then I bring it into bullying and into racism. The Romanians are very racist. They have the Roma people and they speak very down to them. And bullying has been a real, real trouble in Romania because they see the TV now. It's not like it was before. So I bring it down to them. And I do it through the arts. I don't do it through the history books. I do it through the arts. Just before the corona in April 19, I had a workshop. In Siget, there are 7 high schools, 5 Romanian, 1 Ukrainian, and 1 Hungarian. There are minorities in this country. And we took a class from each school. And I brought certain people from the capital, from Bucharest, and we taught them from Monday till Wednesday. Certain things, each group did the story of the Jewish people in Siget through another medium. One did comics, a very famous comic lady from Bucharest. One did through movement, another one through paintings, and another group did through touring the city because they pass through the synagogue and the monument and they don't pay attention. And we got together Thursday night before the end of the week, and each group presented, and we invited people from the city, including their parents, grandparents. We had over 200 people. Now, that was planned to be repeated. Now, we'll see what we can do, because still things are not 100%, you know.
But do you see a kind of a light bulb moment or transformation, particularly in young people, when you draw parallels between the races?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I do. They are also very much concerned, you know, what type of phone you have, what you're wearing. And basically, I just talk about the basics. Human beings, kindness, helping each other, you know, things like that.
One of the programs in your foundation that fascinated me was called Parallel Traces. Can you talk about that a little?
Sure. Number one, Tarbut is a member of AEPJ, which is an association for Jewish heritage across Europe. It started in Luxembourg 23 years ago by a very small group. Let me say something sort of in brackets. There are lots of Jewish heritage sites across Europe, but not all of them are being managed by Jews. And okay, that's a very important point, because non-Jews, like this organization, started of half Jews and half non-Jews. They just fell 22 years ago. Want to take care of it means a building of a synagogue, means the house of a rabbi, means a Jewish monument in memory of Holocaust, means a street that the Jews lived.
Now, why does it matter? Why does it matter if they're non-Jewish or Jewish? I mean, why is that an important point?
Because it brings me back to your question about the influence of the students by me teaching them. Because you see, people chose, non-Jews are choosing to study Judaism in the various universities across Europe. The person who manages the Elie Wiesel House is officially a non-Jew. She graduated master degree in Judaism at Cluj. She is working on her PhD on Hasidism in the region, and that's it. So this is something that they want to do. So that's why I'm mentioning. So back to AEPJ is very popular now. The organization has grown tremendously. And the Parallel Traces was a project with five countries sponsored by the EU. And Romania and Tarbut was one of them. And we showed the parallel traces, the parallel points of Judaism that are in Romania. So it was supposed to be an exhibit, and of course, Corona came, so we turned it into a video. All the countries ended up showing only videos of what they have done. So that was that project. And now, if all goes well, next year we'll be in a project about memory. There is a major important event across Europe that's called European Jewish Heritage Days that begins on the first week of September and keeps going sort of till the end of November, beginning of December. And each country has various projects that they organize.
You know, it's hard to believe that our 30 minutes just whizzed by, but I wish you such success in this amazing project that you started. But I guess I want to conclude on a personal note, which is, how has the work that you're doing in Romania affected you personally? Has it kind of brought you full circle, brought you some sense of peace? I'd love to hear like what it's done for you to sort of heal the wound, I suppose.
Number one, I must tell you, I'm not a second generation that had wounds.
Okay.
I took my position as a victory and not as a victim.
Wow.
A victory because I said, my mother survived, my father did too. I was brought up by two beautiful grandparents, which was a gift. So I'm going to use it to the most. You see, I was invited during my tenure that I was at the Holocaust Museum in Toronto to Germany a few times. And I would walk and I would say, you see, I'm here. And I would give lectures and they will show me places. I mean, I was treated with a chauffeur and everything. And I said, that's great. Here I am. I am not being rude or upset on them, nothing, no. I just show a fact that I am here and I'm going to do the most and I'm not a victim. I am victorious.
Well, you know, I've been living in Europe for many years now, and I know that also when you reach a certain age, 55, 60, they expect you to just curl up and go into retirement, but I am so happy you haven't done that either. And I wish you
I'm praying to God to give me the strength to continue as much as I can.
I have no doubt you will. And I wish you continued success with this wonderful foundation and the work you're doing.
Thank you so very much. And it was great to reconnect. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so
much. In your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.